This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, and the last time we caught up with our next guest, they were touring the country with their debut album, Privilege Woes. They're back with a brand new one called Great Barrier Grief, along with a national tour as well. We just heard the track Key Street from that very album. Welcome back to Bandcamp, Alex from Oh Mercy.
G'day, Adam. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Great to have you back in the studio. Now, before we get into the album, can we just clear the air and get it out of the way? What's the deal with Thomas? Because last time he was, you know, involved in the last album, promoting it, all that kind of stuff. Where's he gone to? What's happening?
Well, Thomas and I co-wrote the first album, and about 6 months before, or a few months before recording the second album, he let me know that he didn't want to tour anymore.
Yeah.
And that he was going to stay at home and, like, concentrate on writing some music separate to Oh Mercy.
Cool.
So he was happy enough to come over to Santa Monica with me, and he played the guitar through the record.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, we co-wrote a couple of songs on it, and he's working on his project now called Kins.
Yep.
And yeah, they're a great band, and it's like Tom totally in his zone, so it's really good to hear.
Excellent. So no big dramatic story surrounding it, just...
Not at all. Just a couple of adults making life decisions.
Yeah, excellent. And so how's the new lineup going? Is it all falling into place very well? I guess you guys had a little bit of time to...
Yeah, we certainly have. Our new guitar player, Simon Oakley, he originally fronted a Perth band called the Praytells, and when they disbanded, he moved to Melbourne. And so we used to play with the Praytells, so he's a friend of ours. And he's playing the guitar with us now, and we still have Rowan Sforcina and Eliza Lamb for the rhythm section, and it's been great fun.
Great. Eliza's getting a bit of a following, isn't she, on the internet?
Is she?
Yeah, she is.
I don't go on the internet much. What kind of...
Oh, you know, a few marriage proposals I've seen on different forums and things like that.
Well, she's a pretty gorgeous and intelligent woman, so that doesn't surprise me for a second.
Now, the album Great Barrier Grief, congratulations on it. I was lucky enough to get an advanced copy in my Pigeonhole, which awesome. I felt very special about. And I've sort of had it in the car ever since. It's been my driving album of the week. So tell us a little bit about the album. Where was it recorded and how does it differ from the first one?
Well, it was recorded in Santa Monica at the producer Mitchell Froom's studio, which differs fundamentally from the first record, considering that one was made in the smallest bedroom in Collingwood, using, you know, one microphone and very limited resources.
Yeah.
So I suppose that the idea of resources and audio quality and options are the main differences between the two albums.
Yeah.
The first one we had to kind of build and layer from the bottom up until we were able to convince people that it wasn't made in a bedroom.
Yeah.
And the second one, we had like a world-class recording studio with real instruments in it and real people to be able to play them. So we got to hone in on every individual sound and make a record with quite minimal arrangement and instrumentation, because we had the ability to try and treat every individual instrument with the care and the audio integrity and, you know, that they deserve.
Did you find any constraints with being in the studio? Because I imagine at home you can take your time, there's no sort of time constraints.
Sure. Well, I mean, I was very conscious of the time constraint, but the pre-production period was quite comprehensive, and Mitchell and I had corresponded six weeks prior. You know, we knew exactly how, from day to day, what we needed to get done.
Yeah.
We stuck to that schedule, and I didn't feel rushed at any point, so it ran quite smoothly.
Great. Now, it is the second album, and there's always, I imagine there'd always be a bit of nerves with the second album, especially when the first one was so successful. The album was out yesterday. How are you feeling about the release?
I'm excited that people have finally got the opportunity to hear it. I finished it last August, so yeah, I don't know. I suppose I won't really know how people feel about it until we go on the road and see if people want to come along and hear the songs and if they how they respond to the album tracks as opposed to the singles. And yeah, I mean, I care about it a lot, and I hope that people can hear that. As for the pressure of recording a second album, I didn't feel much pressure at all. In fact, I was kind of, the success of the first album gave me some kind of confidence when writing and recording the second one, knowing that people would hear it and knowing that we created this platform. It was like a bit of a vote of confidence.
Yeah, yeah. And you seem like a pretty laid-back kind of individual, so...
Yeah. pressure and anxiety don't really have much to do with me, luckily for me.
Mm. Yeah, luckily for you, that's a good thing. Now, something I found interesting when I was doing my research for the interview was that Stay Please Stay, which you're going to play at the end of the interview, was the first clip of Oh Mercy's to be played on Channel V, which I was really surprised about that. Do you think that we have such few local music channels, do you think that they do support Aussie music as much as they should, or are they a bit slack?
Well, I can't really comment because I don't watch the television. Okay. I don't know what they play.
Yeah.
In fact, that is something probably to my detriment, that is very abstract to me, the whole music video thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, from the way that, you know, my management and talk about it, it seems to be a big deal. And I don't know. I would like to think that they would be supporting Australian acts, but I mean, at the end of the day, they're a business, and they're probably just, you know, as with the same ethos as commercial radio stations. They're playing these massive generic hit from overseas because they know that this is what the populace wants.
Mm.
So I guess it's satisfying when someone like my band or any of my peers kind of sneak in on that.
Yeah.
That kind of scene. But I mean, that's just the sad kind of state of things.
Now, I do still want to talk about the clip for Stay Sure. Please Stay, because I love it. Lots of daggy dancing in there, and I can totally relate to that. Fantastic. Because I'm a terrible dancer.
Same.
In terms of the clips, are you heavily involved in what the clips are about, or do people approach you and say, here are all the ideas, and then you kind of get to pick one? How does it work?
Well, we haven't done many, and past ones we have been approached with different briefs. But this one, was a concept that I had in mind for a long time. And we approached the director, Prad, and discussed with him this concept that I had, and he got it. So he was happy to work with that pre-existing concept. And that concept being, I was interested in David Lynch films and how they had that kind of surreal feel, and the daggy dancing with the incredibly serious face kind of contrast.
Yeah.
Is something that it's always interested me. And having people that were older than the band involved in the clip, I'd like to think that we caught some kind of tension and even maybe awkwardness in the clip. The idea being that we're in some rural RSL playing for our dinner or whatever, and trying to convince all these people about us, and then it turns into some kind of strange, crazy Southern American church with everyone with their hands in the air, like praising the Lord, and
yeah,
kind of. And by the end of it, we got all our young friends in there dancing, and you know, they kind of, the old people, you know, transform into my friends, and the daggy dancing continues, and that's basically it.
Very cool. If you haven't seen it yet, jump on YouTube and have a look at it, because it's fantastic. And next time you need any daggy dancers,
right,
first port of call right here.
No problem.
Yep. Cool. Now, last time we caught up with you, you were raving on about Crowded House, how much of a influence they've been on you guys. And then a couple of months later, I see you guys are actually supporting Crowded House on their tour. That must have been a total spin out.
Yeah, it was. I find it hard to articulate these kind of questions, I adore their writing and their position in Australian music history, and I admire them very much for the integrity which they approach pop music. So to go on tour with them was great, and all the other adjectives that you'd imagine someone coming from that position might feel.
It was
a spin out, and we got to see them play 10 times, and we were treated well. We didn't have to pluralize, it didn't have to carry a 10-ton bass amp onto the stage because someone else did it for every night. It was good.
How lovely. So I kind of put that down to you announcing on Bandcamp that you wanted, you know, that Crowded House was such a big influence.
Right,
so
yeah.
This is, I'm
cool,
thinking,
this is my chance,
yeah,
right?
This is your chance. Who's next on the hit list?
Oh, you know, I think Leonard Cohen's all right.
Yeah? All right. I think he listens, so.
Fantastic. Good one.
Now, the first half of the year seems like it's going to be pretty full up with touring and the new album and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have plans in the second half of the year to head overseas with the album, or what are the plans?
Well, we have hopes to head overseas in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
People apparently are being played the record at the moment. So it all depends on if they can relate to it or respond to it. And if they want to help us and put it out, then we'll definitely go over there and do some touring. But who knows? I have no control over that. The only thing I have control over is allocating time off to do some writing. So I really want to get a good head start on another album.
Great.
Post our April tour. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, the Melbourne date is April the 8th. At the Corner Hotel, and there's a bunch of other dates as well. So if you're podcasting this, you might want to check out omercy.com.au for all the live dates, because there's a string of dates. It goes all the way through to the start of May. So
it does, yeah. I can't wait.
Well, as I said, the tour details are at omercy.com.au. The album is Great Barrier Grief, and it's out right now through EMI, both in-store and online. And the thank you is to Alex from Omercy for joining us once again here on Bandcamp.
It's lovely to be back. Thanks for having me.
Joy 94.9 is a GLB TIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.